The first reading is from the letter of Paul to the church in Rome, chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. In the same way, as in hope, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And then Jesus' words on the matter of praying from that Sermon on the Mountain. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the gospel of Christ.
Well, thank you for the honour and privilege again of coming to speak to you again. You've got the second round of this. I practiced at the 8 o'clock, so hopefully I'll get it right this time. But Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts give glory to you, O Lord. Amen. But first, introductions. Been married to Roz for 30 years. This is a picture of us at my younger son's wedding a year or 2 years ago. Actually, I've forgotten, Tim actually led the wedding. It was a Hobbit-themed wedding. But yeah, my wife, Roz, is a friend, wife, she's my mentor, mother to our children, sister in Christ, my parole officer, and sometimes my jailer. As I said, Adam was married in at Living Springs 2 years ago to Caitlin. And this picture's actually just been reversed because my oldest son, Daniel, got married to Monika last Saturday. That's probably why I was a little ill last week, because of the strain of of being part of the wedding. And we've actually got that picture the other way round, where Adam and Caitlin are kissing and Daniel and Monika are photobombing it. But they haven't released it yet, but that will be on the slides in the future. Today's sermon is from Matthew 6, 53. And I think the first part of it says, and when you pray. Because Jesus is talking now, and he's making an assumption that everybody prays. There was a survey done in a society, and even those non-Christians, 95% of them admitted to praying sometime in their life. So it's not if you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, but when you pray, do not be like them. It's quite funny that a friend of mine is a pagan. He talks about him when he prays, he has to get the attention of his God. He has to get do loads of words, and they think that the more words they'll get, that they'll kind of get the attention of their gods. But Jesus is talking about, but do not keep babbling on. Because we as Christians already have God's attention on us. Because in Jesus Christ, he already knows us. And we can come boldly. We do not need to impress God. We do not need to seek his favor. We do not need to do anything. Because of the work that Jesus has done through his life, death, and resurrection, we can come to God. And just a simple word of help is just as effective as lots of words of our quiet time. And this is then how you should pray. There was a Cockney many years ago who went to his vicar and said, "Vicar, I know the name of God." And the vicar said, "What, Yahweh or Jehovah?" He said, "No, it's Howard." "What do you mean?" He says, "Our Father in heaven, Howard be your name." I really hope I have not spoilt the Lord's Prayer. But if you notice, what's the first word? It's our. Not singular, but plural. And so the Lord's Prayer is designed to be said in communion with others. Our Father in heaven, give us today our daily bread. It's all plural. Forgive us, plural, our debts, as we, plural, also have forgiven our plural debtors. The Lord's Prayer is designed by Jesus to invoke and bring together the body of Christ. So what are the essentials? What are the essentials of prayer? Well, Martin Luther said, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm doing my ministry, it's easy just to jump out into and start talking about and doing all the administration, all the things I need to do for the ministry. And sometimes I get so busy doing God's work that I forget the God of the work. And I do know that when I start the day, when I start the time speaking to God and asking him to be with me, the day takes on a totally different shape. So are we too busy to pray? Because if we are too busy to pray, then I'm afraid, I think that we're too busy, full stop. Jesus did it. And if Jesus needed time to go away and pray, if Jesus needed time to spend with his Father, to continue that relationship with the Father, don't you think that we also need to spend time with the Father? Because God loves you. Every single one. Do you know that? God loves you. And he longs to have that relationship. One of the things that I feel really sad about, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, actually doesn't come from the crucifixion or Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible, but it comes from Genesis, where God walks into the garden. And can you imagine, he walks into the garden and he's going, "It's 5 o'clock. I'm sure that I was meant to meet Adam by this bush at 5 o'clock. Adam, where are you?" Of course, God knew where Adam was. But that "Adam, where are you?" was a cry of the heart across a broken relationship, wanting to reconnect with Adam. God loves you and wants that deep relationship with you. And as Jesus did it, so he taught his disciples. So they teach us that God wants that deep and intimate relationship with us in prayer and all of our lives. And so, do we do it? Do we spend time forming our relationship with God in formation to deepen our relationship with God in discipleship, in prayer, in Bible study? That is the cry and the challenge that this verse is for me, cries out. Beth Messon said, "I begin to learn that prayer isn't about transactions between us and God. It's about our relationship with him." Prayer and our Christian walk is relationship based. It's not like other religions where we have to follow rote and certain procedures and symbolism and religious activity, but it's a relationship with the living God. It's relationship with the Father through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's relationship-based. It's worship-based. I don't know about you, but I think God's pretty mighty. I was looking last night for the comet that's going past. That comet's next due 80,000 years later. It was around 80,000 years ago. Just look at the splendour of the heavens. And I don't know about you, but I end up worshipping God in the awe of God. But it's also spirit-based. In Romans it says, you know, we don't know how to pray. The Spirit groans on our behalf. And there's been many times that I've been praying and I just haven't got the words. And I felt the Holy Spirit said, okay, Kev, I've got this one. I'll tell the Father what you want to say, because you just can't find the words for it. I'll speak to the Spirit. So our prayer is spirit-based. But what is the evidence? Well, some of you may know that I used to work for Alpha, and I love the Alpha course. And I've been on a number of Alphas. And I've been on the first one, for me, set the scene, set the way. We didn't know what we were doing in Germany, so we prayed. It was the first one in Germany for the 50,000 soldiers. And we prayed, and my wife prayed, and my wife had a group of the leaders together, and they prayed. And before Alpha, we prayed, and after Alpha, we prayed. And during Alpha, we prayed. And we saw the miracle of every single one of the guests in Rosie's group bowed the knee to Jesus. Even somebody who'd threatened never to step foot in a church ever again was the first to bow the knee to Jesus and meet the living God. I've been on Alpha courses which have been equally well organized, but not been in prayer. And I was in one, and the groups just shrank and shrank and shrank. And by about the fourth or fifth week, my group was only down to a few, along with all the other groups. So they just combined it into one group, and I was no longer needed. No prayer involved. It was almost as if God wasn't invited. I've been on Alpha courses, which have been terrible. The video's been crackly, the sound's been terrible, the food's been late. But it's been birthed in prayer, and there's been so much prayer. And there the Holy Spirit is. We've seen God's miracles time and time again. So for me, the one thing is, I'm not saying that because we pray, it will be a success. But I know that when I see prayer, I expect God to turn up, because he's a faithful and he's a good God. One of the things that we taught our children was to pray in Acts. And you may know the one of praying through adoration. And this is kind of the Lord's Prayer, but shortened version and a little bit jumbled up. But it all has adoration. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. What is hallowed? It's praise. It's confession. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. It's thanksgiving. Praise you, God, for what you've given. And it's supplication. It's praying for others. And so really, I challenge you this week. This church is beautiful. Do you have a heart to see it full? You are good and faithful people. And one of the things that I find in a lot of churches is people turn up late, even turning up 20 minutes late. But you're only here on time, plus a few minutes early. So the challenge really is three questions. And it focuses on, do you want this church full? Do you want to see God lifted above this corner of Papua Nui? Do you want to see God's Spirit move and draw people into church? And the people that you meet to invite and they come to church, do you want to see every single one of these pews filled? Then the first question is, how is your relationship with God? Are you close or are you distant? Sometimes if you feel like you get distracted in prayer. I know that I'm not that good in prayer. Anybody else join me? I know I struggle with prayer. I struggle with Bible study. I struggle with life. Somebody said that if you get distracted from prayer 50 times, then celebrate, because 50 times you've chose to come back to prayer. So how is your relationship with God? Do you want to go deeper? and speak to Tim or me or one of your friends afterwards and say, yeah, I do want to go deeper with God. Where is God taking you? What is the journey that God has got you on? What is in your heart? Is it to see this church be a beacon of light to the people around? So I challenge you next week to come a few minutes early and join Tim in prayer for this God's church, of which each, every one of you is a vital part of the future of this church. Come in prayer because God loves you. And he calls us for the life, death, and resurrection of Christ to his glory and his name. Amen.